Before we get into this episode, I wanted to quickly touch on what is going on in the world in the wake of the death of George Floyd. We here at Nordjavan stand alongside our black sisters and brothers who are hurting and are experiencing injustice. Discrimination and hate is not of Jesus, and this is something that we need to challenge. We at Nordjavan also cannot ignore the way in which the South Asian community has so often been silent against racism and is even the discriminator. We will spend some time talking about this a bit more in next month's episode. But before then, we need to say now that we all need to take a look at ourselves and reflect. As human beings on this earth, we all share agency and responsibility for what is going on, and we must repent for when we fail. We must learn and stand up as whole communities against racism and injustice. We must educate ourselves and learn to see when we are getting things wrong. And then we need to push for change. For as Gandhiji said, we need to be the change we wish to see in the world. So let's do that. As I said, we will talk about all this a bit more in next month's episode. But it seems appropriate that we talk about this briefly now, because change needs to happen. So let's make sure that a change is going to come. Hi there, welcome to the Nordjavan podcast. The Nordjavan podcast seeks to inspire, develop and equip young South Asians in their Christian walk with conversations about faith, life and culture. We're passionate about empowering young people to live for Jesus in a way that makes sense in their everyday lives, from family to work to relationships and even the church, making a difference wherever they go. Hi there and welcome to the Nordjavan podcast. I'm your host, Shaquille, and I'm so excited that you are here with us. How's everyone doing? It's been crazy times, but it's always reassuring to know that God is with us. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about marriage. Now, marriage is a significant part of many lives and many of our own. We all know people who are married. We ourselves may be married. We think of our mums, our dads, our brothers, our sisters, our uncles and aunties, and so on. And for those of us from a South Asian community, we know that marriage can be a very big focus topic as well, which is why we're taking the time to talk a bit about it here today. Joining me to talk about marriage are Christian and Rosie Berhar. They are one of the first couples that connected through Nordjavan, and they celebrate their 20th wedding anniversary this week. I spoke to them over Zoom, and they shared some wisdom and advice from their 20 years. We hope you find it interesting.
Thank you so much for being able to join us here on the Nordjavan podcast. And I know this is a really special episode for me to be doing, because I get to interview my Masi and Masaji. And this is also a fantastic time to have you here on this podcast as you celebrate your 20th wedding anniversary this month. Congratulations on making it to this milestone.
I hope that
as we chat and as we discuss, that we can hopefully get a chance to hear some of your wisdom and some of your experiences that, you know, you're sharing with us today from these 20 years of marriage. And we at Nordjavan are really excited to hear that. I want to start by firstly, can I ask that if can you tell us a bit about how you both met?
Okay.
Yeah. So firstly, Shaquille, thank you very much for the invite to your podcast and to allow us this opportunity for beginning celebrations of our 20th anniversary in a special way. So it's a real privilege.
Yeah.
For the beginnings of how we got introduced, it starts back to I was a member of an Asian Christian fellowship in Wolverhampton, and as part of that church, I was leading the youth and supporting them in various ways. And one of the things I recognized was helping youth understand their difficulties and using their skills and gifts. So I had a vision to create an opportunity for bringing other Christians up and down the country together. So somebody introduced me to Kuldeep Rajo at obviously the Lighthouse at Southampton. And so we got together, started a conversation, and we looked to organise the first events in Wolverhampton. So the idea was to bring the young people together. So, but it was during those conversations I was having with Kuldeep that he asked me a question about my own relationship. Was I seeing somebody? Was I looking? And I said it was in prayer, and I was searching, and I had handed it over to God in prayer. And that was the end of that conversation, really. And the next thing was he rang me up and asked me if I would be willing to meet somebody. And I thought, oh, okay, here we go. one of those arrangements. And so I said yes to him, and I went to travel down to Southampton, into your home, and I met Rosie plus your mum and dad, and also your granddad as well. And we had a conversation, and we had an opportunity to talk together, and then slowly people sort of disappeared around the table, and left with me, Rosie, and Rahana, and who's our chaperone, I think.
At the age of two.
Yeah. So she was playing on the floor, and we sort of played and chatted together, and had some conversation, and so that was the first opportunity of a conversation with Rosie, and the first time I met her. And then after the chat, Kuldeep said to me, he said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, she's a nice enough girl, but I'd need to have another chat with her. But Kuldeep said to me at that time that there is some expectations here that you need to have an answer. And I said, I wouldn't be able to give a yes or no answer that quick. I would need to see her again. But fortunately for me, we were allowed to meet again and have some other opportunities of conversation. So that was the very beginnings of how we met.
Yeah. From my perspective, Rani called me and said, so Rani, my sister, your mum, gave me a call, and I was wandering around Sainsbury's, and I got a phone call, and she said, would you like to meet somebody? And so I said yes, and she told me a bit about him, and we met, like Krisha said, in Southampton. But I think the underlying thing for us was the fact that Andrew's parents had also been praying for us at the same time, and we found that they also felt that Krish was somebody that was the right person for me. And I think that's the big piece of background information that I just want to add to what Krish has just shared. Because we met and we came away from it thinking, oh, you know, this person's nice. I think the first thing that hit me is when he shook hands with me, I thought, oh, firm handshake and clean nails. That's got to be a good sign. But following on from that, it was knowing that there was a basis of prayer behind there. And when we found out that Uncle and Auntie had been praying for us and they felt that God had said that we were right for each other, that was very instrumental in our relationship as well. So
I just want to add to that also that prior to that point at which I'd met Rosie, I had handed the idea of marriage 7 years over to God, and I'd asked couples in the church to pray for me. So it was quite a long journey for me to get to that stage as well, or based on people praying for me for the right person. So I knew that that time that I had people praying for me when I was meeting and talking to Rosie.
That's great. Thank you for telling us a bit about sort of how you met, and obviously it got off well, and it's you got together and you got married in June the 17th in the year 2000. So you've been married now for 20 years. I want to ask you, from those 20 years, what would you say marriage means to you? And I guess both of you, with your Christian faith, what does a Christian marriage mean to you?
Okay. Shall I go first? Do you want to go first?
If you want to, you go first.
For me, it's a relationship that's grounded in a common foundation of friendship, love and support without any kind of judgment or guilt. And I think that's the main things. If I was to put a series of words together, I think that would be it. The idea that there's someone who's on your side, no matter what the situation is, whether you're standing against a situation at work, a situation with family, a situation of your own making, that you have somebody who's there by your side, no matter what the situation or circumstances, and somebody who'll be able to listen to your concerns. And also someone who's going to be completely honest and with you, and that you can trust. Again, the idea that you're not being judged, you can just be who you are. I think without saying, it goes without saying that because obviously being in a Christian marriage, in all of that, God's at the center of all the decisions that we make, whether they're big or small, and knowing that your partner has the same beliefs as you means that you can respect the opinions that they give you. So I think that, to me, is my definition and response to that question.
Yeah, and for me is the idea of having a friend, and a friend for life, all that continuous building of a strong relationship as you walk through life challenges. And you're always going to have challenges, you're always going to be on a roller coaster, but also in addition to that, finding somebody who sees God at the center as well. And then when you do form that friendship, God is in that center of that relationship. Because for me, is that marriage is a commitment, and that commitment starts in God's presence. And for those who do get married in a church, it starts in the church where you make that commitment. But it's the continuous process of having God in that relationship as you go through life's journeys and the challenges.
Thank you. God at the center. Yeah, I think this that you both sort of really hit on something about actually God is present in your relationship and present in your lives. And that's really been sort of like a real grounding and bedrock for both of you,
yeah,
in that relationship.
Mm.
And, you know, 20 years of marriage is a long time. And with any sort of period of time in any relationship, there's always going to be, there's always the question of like, how do you make it go the distance? How do you make it sustain the years? I wanted to ask, like, from that, what has been important for sustaining you in your marriage over that time? Has that sort of God being at the center of your relationship and being a part of your lives been a real key part in your marriage and keeping it going strong after 20 years? Or have there been other things that have helped to really support that?
I think, I guess the openness and the honesty, being able to talk through problems and situations, I think that is a massive part of a good marriage. And being able to do that and then to pray together about that situation is really paramount. It's not always perfect. You'd be lying if you said it was always perfect. You know, you have things that make it difficult to stop and evaluate things sometimes. But it's the fact that, again, there's this person that will stand by you and be there for you, so that you, if they can see that you're crumbling a little bit, they can recognize those things in you and build you up again, and then help you express how you're feeling and the things that are bothering you, so that we can take them together to God in prayer. So that's a really fundamental part, I think, of a good marriage and a good relationship and a good friendship. Like Krish said, I think also the other main thing is having fun together. That's a really big thing, and it's all important to be able to see the blessing in a situation and laugh together, because we have had some very difficult times especially in the last sort of 12 months with our son becoming diabetic as a consequence of a typhoid jab, which within 5 days took him from being perfectly healthy to becoming a type 1 diabetic. And that was a huge impact, a huge impact on our marriage, on our life. But from the very moment it happened, it was just knowing that God was in charge and we could trust God with it. And that's helped us manage that part of it, and manage the stress and the strain and the concerns that has brought about. So, yeah, I think, I don't think I can add much more to that.
Yeah. So for me, I see that as a journey, and as a journey of discovery. So it's a bit like going on a holiday, Shaquille. So we go on a holiday, we plan for the holiday, and we pack our luggage. And some people pack a bit more than is needed.
Someone does all the packing.
But you go on this journey together, and it's a discovery. It's a trial of a new culture, experiencing different things. And sharing as well. You have the conversations, you experience the different tastes and flavors, and sometimes you experience bad things and difficult things on a holiday, and sometimes things go wrong on a holiday, because one of our holidays, Rosie unfortunately had an accident, so these things happen. But how do you manage that? How do you tackle that? And again, on holiday, you pack your luggage as well. And sometimes we find in our marriages we pack baggage from our childhood, and this is something that's referenced to in the marriage course, that that you enter into your marriage and it causes problems and issues. But the whole idea of this holiday and this journey is that you work through those situations and through those difficulties in order to create a better holiday, and hence a better marriage that you can both enjoy. And as Rosie said, is to have fun. Mm. We go on holiday to have fun. So the aim on a marriage is to have fun and games as well. So
yeah, I mean, just to add to that, a few years after we got married, we did the marriage course, which is run by Holy Trinity Brompton. We thought, you know, we've never been married before. We might as well learn from other people's mistakes and experience. Yeah. And that is something we would highly recommend to anybody who's married. The marriage course helps, and having it and doing it again every few, you know, every 5 to 8 years, maybe every 10 years, just as something to help revitalize and bring you back to base again. It's an excellent course, so we certainly would recommend that people consider things like that. Your marriage does not have to be in trouble for you to seek guidance from things like the marriage course, and it helps to renew the marriage as well. So we really would recommend that to people.
Oh, that's great, thank you. I think there's something that of that journey that you talked about with marriage, that you go on together, something you've learned to do, you enjoy it. Yes, there are hard times. And, you know, something that you really picked out on there is that sort of that friendship and that honesty and openness that you have with each other as you work things out together. I wonder, I know that something that I observe, and I'm sure many of us observe, is something with our sort of South Asian culture. Sometimes openness and going being vulnerable and deep with people can sometimes be quite tricky in at times when ideas of wanting to avoid shame or keeping up a good impression can be quite hard. Has that been something that you felt as you developed an honest and open relationship in that journey you've gone? Has that been something that you felt that you've had to work through, or something that you've ever had to think, hold on a second, do we have to think about how we're going to do things differently?
Do you mean just with each other?
Yeah, just with each other. I know that's sometimes we can think of an Asian culture, a South Asian culture, can often carry with it sometimes that old school British idea of like the stiff upper lip will, you know, keep up the good impression, and sometimes it can be hard to go through the open and honest and vulnerable stuff. I don't know if that's something that have you found that you've had to wrestle with the challenge?
I mean, that's a really interesting question, because I think you're right, that every you've got two people from completely different backgrounds coming together, and you're trying to make your lives work, and I think you have to be very honest with each other while you're dating. I know this is a question that you come up with later, but certainly the idea that you need to talk and talk a lot, you need to really establish yourselves before you get to the part of marriage about how open and honest you're going to be with each other. I think it's so important. And also it's very important not to set up illusions of who you think that person wants you to be. I remember listening to something before I met Krish saying, and it said, if you don't enjoy your own company, don't inflict it on others. And the idea that, you know, you are responsible for your own happiness. Don't go into a marriage expecting that other person to make you happy. You have to be happy with yourself. And then you can join in when you join and to become a couple, then you're joining that happiness together. And I think that was a really important thing for me personally. Mm. I think that if you can't share openly how you feel with each other and manage that, and it isn't perfect, you know, I like to talk about how I feel. I'm very extrovert in that respect. Christian is more introvert. I think that's what makes us a better couple. He's a thinker. I'm a kind of, you know, I go full speed,
full throttle.
Yeah, whereas Krish will stop and think. It's taken me a long time to get used to that, because I like to really just talk through things through quickly, whereas he likes to take it all, digest it all, walk away, think about it, come back, and then talk about it. So it took a while getting used to that process, and you have to respect that. And I think that's the other thing, that the mutual respect for each other's way of managing things. But if at the end of the day you know that that person is committed to you because you're married, because of the love they have for you, and because you know that they're not judging you, they are trying to understand you, as long as you have that mutual understanding of that mutual respect for each other, I think that you can deal with anything, you can cope with anything.
Yeah, and for me, Shaquille, what, as I mentioned earlier, I came from an Asian Christian fellowship, and they had their Asian Christian traditions as well. And and you could see that within the couples that were married in the church as well. And whereas... I had to take into account that I was British-born Asian and a Christian looking for a Christian wife. And I had to, and some of the challenges I saw were that how the men behaved with their women from a very Asian traditional way, which really I struggled to follow. And whereas, for example, I believe that my wife is entitled to her opinion, and we discuss things through. She has an opportunity to discuss things through, and we talk through things, and we make decisions together. Whereas in some homes, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So that was an observation for me, that that's something that I did not want in our relationship. Mm.
I think also the one of the important things was when we were still dating, Krish asked me, and this is to me is one of the fundamental things I really do remember about our dating period, because I have a really bad memory, as you know. He asked me, who do you think would be the head of our household? And that was something he asked me while we were still dating. And my response to that was that, you know, who would make the final decision, basically, if it came down to decision making. And my response was, well, my expectation would be that we would talk it through, we'd hear each other's opinion, we'd respect each other's opinion and value that opinion, and pray, ask and see where God was guiding us. But if at the end of the day, if we couldn't make a decision, and there had to be an ultimate final decision made, that I, as the wife, would allow Christian to make that decision as the head of the household. Now, a lot of people might think that might be a somewhat sexist way of managing it, but to me, I knew that he was a very God-centered individual. That's what the center of our marriage was. And I knew that he would go to God in making that decision. So I felt that that was a really valuable question, because he was saying, look, I will respect you and value your opinion, but if we have to make one, who'll get the final say? And I think it's important in a relationship to have that balance, to know that you mutually respect each other, but also there is somebody who is the head of your household who ultimately makes the decision when you can't make one together. I think that was important.
Yeah, I think that's something, no, thank you for saying that. I think something that I really value that from what you just said there is actually in all that there's a real a value and respect and honesty for what each of you are saying and you share, and that even when it sometimes feel I know where there's a lack of like clarity on what's the final conclusion or what's the decision that's got to be, that you both ultimately are trying to understand each other as best as you can, but also are both trying to be faithful to how you follow God, and actually you know whatever the other person is saying, they're trying to be as faithful to each other in the marriage and faithful to God. And I think that's a really strong place I guess to be in any relationship. So no, thank you for saying that. I wanted to come to talk a little bit about you have two wonderful children, my wonderful cousins. You know, children are often a big part of any marriage, and I wanted to ask a bit about what being parents and having kids has meant for your marriage and your journey.
I think what we'd say is that in the early years, children are a pure joy. No one's going to tell you that. If anyone says it's easy being a parent, they are lying, because it isn't easy. It's difficult. But the joy of being a parent far outweighs anything that you will ever come across. So just to say that at the outset, that being a parent is the highlight of our marriage, I think. Definitely the best thing that we've been able to do as a couple. Yes, you get less time together. I think that was the big thing. We had much less time together just through sheer exhaustion. When we were first married, we would spend the end of each day just talking to each other about how our day had been, and then we would pray together about our day together. And that was a real foundation for our relationship in terms of growth. But as soon as with children came along, that became really difficult, because we had young kids, you know, we were often falling asleep at different times. We were so exhausted. But I think ultimately, praying together about any concerns we had, and bringing the kids into that prayer life with you, teaching them about God, teaching them how to pray. And now, as time has gone on, teaching them that skill, as we've been able to now have more time, a little bit more time with them, that skill, when we sit down with them now, we're now asking them, tell us about your day, and then praying with them about their day in the way that we used to do when we first got married. So yes, it's exhausting, but very, very rewarding. I think that's probably...
Yeah. And just to add to what Rosie said, certainly a commitment and a challenge and a great responsibility, but the great reward is actually seeing them grow in their own lives. But more importantly to me is that is actually seeing them grow into a faith of their own and of their own individuality has been absolutely fantastic for us to both enjoy and be part of that journey for them as well. And I can think about many moments of joy, but one of the biggest ones that came to me was when I baptized them at our church, and just being there present and giving them and sharing the baptism was a great joy for me. And it's one of those memories that I will always cherish, because I know that that's the beginning of their relationship in God. And as Rosie said, it's a continuous journey with us of prayer, discussions about what's going on at school, college, and opening up God's scripture together with them, and talking through their own challenges, and helping them understand how God is talking to them. It is a great joy as well as part of their journey.
The only thing I think I'd add is that I'm a huge believer in learning in other people's experiences. I don't think you should make mistakes if you can avoid them. So again, when Eliana was 6 months old, Eliana was our eldest, when she was 6 months old, I did a 10-week parenting course, and took away skills from that other parents had collated, and it made a huge difference to me and my parenting skills. I mean, I'd never been a parent before, so to me it made sense to learn from other people's experiences, and I think it made a massive difference in the upbringing of our children, because it made us able to address issues before they happened. Whereas other people around us were saying, oh, my kid does this and my kids say that, I can hand on my heart say my children haven't had tantrums, and have been a blessing, to a real blessing to us. So
And just very quickly, just to add to that point as well, is that when we started to Rosie initially wasn't working, but then when she started working and I started progressing in my job roles as well, managing time and commitment to progression was always a bit of a challenge as well. But what I learned very earlier on, together with also church commitments, and we all know what church rotas are like, Shaquille, and how to maintain all those balancing act of rotas, is family does come first, yeah, and they are priority. So just as one of the things I learned very early in my ministry training, and that is learning to say no. So it's saying no to others so I can maintain my family time with Rosie and the kids was so important to me. And that's something, as a tip that I would give to people, is learn to say no so you can prioritise your family relationship, because you will never get that time back again with your kids at the various ages and things that they go through. You will never get that time again. So you need to establish that commitment.
Yeah. Cheers. Thank you. That's really good to hear. We're nearly coming into land. One of the things that I wanted to ask you guys to share and reflect a bit on before we wrap up is when you've found that challenges have arisen over the years, and there's been like some of the more difficult seasons, how have you both overcome them, both together, if there's stuff that's also been individually as well?
I think the big lesson is ultimately you only really have each other and God to rely on. As in a family unit, ultimately there's going to be just you. You have to, and that's why having God at the center is so important, because as humans we're frail, and if we didn't have God to fall back on, didn't have God at the center, not to fall back on, but God there, I don't think we would be able to cope. So I think that would be my answer to that. Having God at the center in all the scenarios. Yeah, I think I've forgotten the question.
No, that's good.
I think I forgot the question.
Yeah, just
ask the question.
Just sort of when challenges have come up for you guys over the years, how have you both overcome them? What's been the thing that's got you through?
So for me, Shaquille, it's all about having God in the center and talking things through, praying about them, and really waiting upon God to support us through the situation. And he, in turn, he has answered many prayers in various ways. In some cases, he's made it really easy for us. He's introduced a professional to help us with a particular problem or issue, with supporting the kids in their difficulties. And that's been great. And clearly, it's been an eye-opener in that situation. But foremost, it's quite simply just trusting God in the situation.
Cheers. Thank you for that. We're nearly at the end of our time together. But just before we go, I wanted to ask you guys if you could give sort of like one piece or one final thing of advice to a couple who's just about to get married, or the early years of their marriage, what would you be saying to them?
Do you want to do your one first? Because I think yours is a bit shorter than mine.
Well, you asked for one, you see, so
you answered the question.
One. If you're at that stage, okay, my advice would be to ask as many questions as you can to understand, is this person going to be your long-term friendship partner? That's the big one for me. Alongside those questions, and again, it's just praying and submitting it to God, and it's so important. And I think for me is that the verse that came to my mind was that is the, from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2-3, and it says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." If you could submit and walk and breathe through those verses, I think that's a good foundation for you to start entering a good friendship.
For me, I think the first thing I'd say is that person your best friend? Because they have to ultimately be your best friend. And also, not can you live with them, but could you live without them? That was a massive thing for me. Looking at when Krish proposed, in fact, that was the thing that went through my head. Could I live without him? And also, I'm afraid I'm going to have to say one more than one.
That's all right.
Deal with problems as they arise. Don't wait to sort them out later. You have to be, and you have to be somebody who's able to say, this is bothering me. Yeah. Don't think they'll go away when they get married, or they might change when they get married. Don't go into a relationship expecting to change them, to make them come around to your way of thinking. But deal with them as they arise, and make God the center of all the things that you do. And do the marriage preparation course. Because again, that's a fantastic tool for couples considering marriage. It's a great tool to help you.
It helps you with those questions.
Yeah, recognize those questions.
The important questions, or the questions that you don't want to ask, they get you through the course to ask those questions.
Enjoy it. Have fun.
I think that's a great place to finish. Thank you both so much for joining us here at the Nordjevon podcast to talk about marriage, and for being so open with your story and your marriage. So thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure and an honour. Thank you, Shecky. Thank you. All the best.
That was Christian and Rosie Bohart reflecting on the topic of marriage. Now, I know that marriage is a big topic and 30 minutes is not enough time to cover everything, but I hope that you found this conversation helpful. I know that I found it really insightful for my own understanding of marriage. And after I finished recording the interview, Rosie shared a few more things that she wanted to share with you all, but we didn't get around to mentioning it. She said, "It's important as a grown-up and a parent to recognise your failings and mistakes and be willing to ask your child for forgiveness. It demonstrates to them that we aren't perfect, and also the importance of asking for and accepting forgiveness. It's also important that they see us demonstrate this with each other as parents. Remember, they are watching you as a model of behaviour." End quote. I think there's a real wisdom in what she shared here, and I hope that this is something you find useful as well. It's quite humbling and deep, and I think it speaks a lot of the character of Jesus. Before we go, we're going to hear a song. For this episode, we decided we're going to listen to one of the tracks from the Nordjavan Unique and United EP, Yesutum. I'm sure many of you have heard it already before. It's a beautiful song. We thought it good for us to hear today. So we hope you enjoy it. Take care. Jesus, you alone are going to stay by my side.
मेरे देवता जिंदगी तुम्हारे नाम की यीशु तुम मेरे देवता जिंदगी तुम्हारे नाम की कभी भी ना साथ छोड़ा तुम मेरे पास थे मुझको जीना सिखाया जब हम उदास थे कभी भी ना साथ छोड़ा तुम मेरे पास थे मुझको जीना सिखाया जब हम उदास थे कहते हैं सबके सामने जिंदगी तुम्हारे नाम की यीशु तुम मेरे देवता जिंदगी तुम्हारे नाम की
Yes, you're a lamp to my feet and a light to my path with your compass showing me the direction to your heart. You opened up my eyes and showed me the light from the dark. Knowing the truth will never set us apart. Right from the start, it's always been about love, which is never ending. A physical demonstration that saved the human nation that was sent from above. You taught me how to live, held my hand and forgot Jesus about my past.
Mere devta, zindagi tumhare naam ki. Yesu tum, mere devta, zindagi tumhare naam ki.
Come to him, you will see the mystery of this man on the tree.
You alone came to win my life. Now I'm found in your great design. Yesu tum.
Just as you are, come to him. The price was his life, and his life is our price.
Jab hum ulchan mein the, aaye tum samne. Mujhko aaram mila jab haath tumne thaam liye. Jab hum ulchan mein the. आए तुम सामने मुझको आराम मिला जब हाथ तुमने थाम लिए पीछे पीछे तुम्हारे चलूं मैं जिंदगी तुम्हारे नाम की यीशु तुम मेरे देवता जिंदगी तुम्हारे नाम की जिंदगी
Jesus you were gonna gonna stay by my side Jesus you were gonna gonna lift up my eyes Jesus you were gonna gonna table this life Jesus you alone be lifted Jesus you were gonna Jesus you alone Jesus you alone Jesus you alone be lifted high
Thank you so much for joining us. If you have enjoyed this podcast, then make sure you hit the subscribe button. Please tell your friends, your families, and your churches. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please consider leaving us a review. Our episodes go out every month on the second Friday of the month. You can find out more about Nordjavan at nordjavan.com and on all our social media, or email us at podcast@nordjavan.com. Join us next time when we will be reflecting with Bex and Miles Dillon and Nikki Gumbel on racism and the church. See you next time.